bump into Brody today. Make sure you tell him happy birthday, all right? He got older. Have a word of prayer for the children as they go downstairs. Father God, we thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for these children, Lord, the opportunity they have right now. Lord, I pray for these teachers, Lord, that you would just guide their hearts and minds. Lord, help them to say, teach them, guide these children in the way that they ought to be. Lord, I pray that our children would soak up your word, Father. Tuck it deep down in their hearts and minds. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I jump in, I did want to just add an additional blurb there for the apologetic study. I made a comment this morning and in Sunday school about my own personal self looking to go to Word of Life was not to gain a deeper relationship with the Lord, but more to gain knowledge. And that's what apologetics does, is help you with the real-life questions, like those who ask you, why is there evil? Why does good seem to be squashed and evil seem to succeed? Those things are all in the Scriptures, and we ought to and should be, as Peter tells us, ready always to give a reason for what you believe. It's biblical. You need to ought to be ready to give a reason. And I just wanted to share with you quick. I think I have it in here. I quoted Ravi, but I didn't say the whole thing. As I bought a booklet, why your church needs apologetics. I do study before we pick a study, but. Ravi declared, he says, I have little doubt that the single greatest obstacle in the impact of the gospel has not been its inability to provide answers, but the failure on our part to live it out. To live it out. And too many folks, as I have run into, have seen that we may have a head knowledge of verses, but we really don't know what they mean. And that's what the apologetics will help us to, understanding them, applying them to your life, applying these things in your life, and being able to ask and talk about real life things when it comes to reaching and teaching others about Christ. So just want to encourage you, again, there's no cost to this study, I encourage you to come on out 5 o'clock starting next Sunday. Okay, so this morning, in your bulletins, there is an outline there for you to follow along with. God breathed. For those who are joining us first today, we are walking through the book of 2 Timothy. I exposit verse by verse through the Scriptures. We emphasize that the Word of God is important in its entirety. Okay, we do not skip, jump over, hurdle. We go verse by verse through the right now through 2 Timothy, dealing with each passage and understanding what it means, how to apply it to our lives. And sadly, as some are losing this thought, is the mindset that the Scripture is God breathed. Some translations will have inspired. But the literal translation is breathed out by God. And as we studied last week, that these are sacred writings, as you even you look at your Bible, it says Holy Bible, Sacred Bible. That's just where that passage, people came with that idea, the Holy Bible, it's sacred. Their mindset is shrinking. And it comes down to grammar. People will say that they believe the words of God, God's words are in the Bible. That seems minor, except that's implying that it's not all God's word. And that's where the attack has become, is that they'll say that, well, that was then, that's not now, that was to that society, that was to this, that doesn't matter now. And they don't want to take the entire script. And as I said, that there's times where people look at passages that seem harsh and they're apologizing for God. And by doing so, you're implying that you are more gracious than God, that you know better than the Lord. This is an old book. It doesn't mean that it's so old as some young people want to say, that's old so you don't need it anymore. Things have changed. Society-wise, we're seeing more changes now than we ever have in history. Things are changing so fast. But thank God, the Word of God does not need to change. We do not have to go and download the biggest update, right? How many hate that with your phones, right? It's like every week you got to download an update. Thank God you don't have to take your Bible and lift it up in the air. Lord, okay, what's the update? What's the update here? What's going on? Oh, no, I did that yesterday. Okay, I got to change this, all right? It works now. It works today. The problem that we're having in society is that it's not sacred anymore. I have a Bible that was, it was my grandfather's, brother's, mother-in-law's. Okay? I'm trying to understand how that all works family-wise, but I'm not going to try. All I know is that it was printed in 1917. Next year it'll be 100 years old. And I opened it up with doing this study, and I was looking at it. I mean, the book, it's a Schofield reference, that it's fallen apart. But just looking at her notes, looking at where she kept old pieces of paper stuffed in there, passages she underlined, looking at her notes in the back, and just in awe of that so much. There's only been one person through all the generations, sadly, in my family, that has been a Christian. The rest were Catholics. Okay? There was only one who really had a true relationship with Christ. And this was my great uncle's wife led her mother to the Lord. Anna D. Baldwin was her name. She moved to the States from Sweden in 1920 to New Jersey. And her daughter gave her this Bible, and it's written right in there, to my loving mother. And just looking at it was just like, look, like, it's so cool to me. I know some folks think old books, they stink, and I think that's cool. I just love looking at it. And just flipping through the pages, I looked at it and I saw that she thought this was sacred. Just think, it's a 100-year-old book, and how well taken care of, and it's been passed down for generations. It's sacred to her. And it's because, without a doubt, I believe she saw this as words of God. Words of God. And that's what I want to talk about today is, so those who can stand, please stand with me as I read the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for this time to come together. Lord, I pray that you help me, Lord, to share only your words. Only share what you want said today. And Lord, I pray for each individual here. Lord, if they don't have a true and real relationship with Christ Jesus, Lord, may they make that happen today. May they not wait for tomorrow. For tomorrow is no guarantee. Father, I pray that you'd guide through these studies this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, as you see in the outline there, first I have is pure. Pure, in the first part we're looking at, is that it is sacred, holy. We look at verse 15, as that was our memory verse, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, sacred, holy writings. Romans 7:12 says it this way, so the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and the righteous good. The righteous good. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what is really it, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So we see that the emphasis is that these scriptures ought to be considered holy, sacred, God's Word. God's Word. As the second point here I have is expiration. As many translations have inspiration, that God's word is inspired, but the problem is with that English word is now, as so many people say that, well, I read Shakespeare and I was inspired by what he wrote. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying these guys came together or came and wrote down and they were inspired by what happened, so then they wrote it down. Because inspired means that you're taking something that's already done, and it, what it is, it's expired. Expiration. Okay? When you talk, your breath comes out, okay? If you ever try talking without breathing, it doesn't work. Okay? It's your air coming out of your lungs. It's why is the literal translation is breathed out by God. It's breathed out. It is co-authored. Meaning that God did use these men. You'll see in different books that are written by Paul, by Peter, by Luke, there is a different variation of words, how they talk about things. God used that, but it is still all God's word. It is all God's word. As even this morning in Sunday school, we talked about, as Paul said, I command this, but then he pauses and he says, but not as his I, but this is what the Lord commands. The Lord commands this. As 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, Peter said this, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And again, this wasn't something that, it wasn't that these guys said that I was sitting there with my pen and paper and all of a sudden something came over me and I could hear, you know, right there it says, I charge you in the presence of God. Okay, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of Christ Jesus. That's not how it worked. It's God working through these men, the inner working of the Holy Spirit, that what they wrote was of God. That's why these men took it so serious. That's why they cherished it so seriously. That's why this is still the book, only book, that is the top seller. There's many books that become top sellers, but they only are top sellers for a little while. Then they die out. There's nothing out there like the Word of God. Nothing. No book has ever been written that even comes close that can hold the sales of the Holy Bible. Why? Why is that? Because there's something different about this from any book in the world. It doesn't matter. There's never been a time where we found this cave, we pulled out these writings, and we said, ha, the Bible's wrong. Always what happens is these men and women dig to try to disprove the Bible. They pull out another stinking writing and says, it's right again. There's another thing that proves the Bible is correct. There's another thing that proves it. Proves it. So what's so pure about it is that it's holy, it's of God, it's expiration, it's God breathed, God coming out. And lastly, because of that, it's true. It's true. You see, when we come to these scriptures, we need to realize that what it says is true. Though, as Augustine, I love that, when Augustine wrote, he said that when I come to a passage that is tough, it's not that I think I'm wrong. He immediately says that either the one who translated it from the original text translated it wrong, two, the interpretation, the one that I'm reading, translated it wrong, or three, I myself personally am reading it wrong. There was never a mindset all the way back from until Augustine that the scriptures could be wrong. It was always the scriptures are right. We must be wrong. We need to walk into this looking at it that this is true. This is true. This is truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul told Timothy, listen, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar, a buttress of the truth. He wrote these letters. He made sure these things were jotted down so that in case Paul delayed, something happened, he would have something he could look to that could be what they held up as a pillar, a buttress of the truth. You don't read that and think, well, that's a weak thing. No, you think that's solid. It's solid. Then the reason the churches are falling apart today, the reason the churches are having quote-unquote problems, is because they're not holding up the truth. They're not sticking to the Word of God. The one place everyone ought to be able to look is the church, because the church should have the truth. John 14:6, we read, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is truth. He is truth. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 up here on the screen, 37-38. If anyone thinks that he's a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone, emphasis here, if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. It's why if anyone ever comes to me and talks about this new thing, this new faith, this new thing they're finding out, or God told him this, and I say, okay, let's take out the litmus test, correct? There needs to be a ruler. Right? If we didn't have something to go by, then we could all just say whatever. There needs to be a litmus test. Paul's saying, listen, if they show up and they don't honor these scriptures, don't even recognize them. Don't even recognize them. If they deny anything in here, they say, oh, I don't like that, or I disagree with that, or I don't like these things, then you just say, then forget about it. I don't want you because this is my truth. If you teach anything that disagrees from here, I don't have time for this. I need to stick to the truth. What's so amazing about the Word of God is that it's pure, it's perfect, but secondly, it's piercing. There's something powerful about the Word of God, isn't there? It's amazing that when folks will read it, it pierces hearts. First there, we see that it says all Scripture is breathed out, and it's profitable for what? For teaching. For teaching. I like to understand here. I'll go through quick. Teaching is not that it is so much as content, but it's method. Okay? The Word of God tells you to stop. Stop what you're doing. Don't do that. We see that in the Word of God. It's very on point. Then it goes on and says that it's reproof. It says you shouldn't be doing that. You should be, this is wrong. Okay? So the Word of God says stop. It tells you you need to turn around. It says a correction. It tells you where you should be going. And then lastly, it's training. It tells you where to follow. Isn't that great? There's so many folks out there tell you, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, then that's it, they leave you. Well, then what am I supposed to be doing? I need the next step. The Bible doesn't just say, that's wrong. It doesn't just say, stop, that's wrong. It says, turn around. It says, correction, your path is this way. And in fact, not only that, this is who you should be following. It gives it plain, right out there. It's right through and through. 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to them. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. I had this discussion with somebody before. They're so frustrated with trying to lead this person to the Lord, it seemed like every verse they showed him was just didn't make any sense. And I said, look it, right here. Paul said, until the Holy Spirit is residing in them, it will be folly to them. It'll be folly to them. See, Psalm 1, and I love this passage, and just write it down for yourself to look at later. Psalm 1, you know, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, on his law he meditates day and night. What is a guy like that? He's like a tree that's planted by a stream of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaves do not wither. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're like the chaff the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What's so amazing is if you stop and look at history, you look at the Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that Christ said, Peter, upon you I will build this church. What one thing, if you look at one faith out there that's been slammed over and over, they've killed, they've burned Bibles, they've done everything they could to shut it off. The Christian faith does not stop. There's been many new ones. There's many new ones that come up and they die. There's many that, and you may say, well, what about certain individuals out there? There's some faiths that have started. Look at when they started. They're not that old. They may seem big now, but they'll die out too. Because they're evil. They're wicked. They may have a taste of God. They may, look at, what does he say? They may have godliness, but they're not of God. They may have a flavor of it, but over time they will die out. So teaching, Paul, we say here that the Word of God is good for teaching. It says stop. It tells you to stop. Next, it reproofs you. It tells you to turn around. It rebukes you. It says, don't go that way. Turn around. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's amazing as you can have, and that's why I encourage anyone, if you're ever witnessing to someone, you're trying to guide them to Christ, do not use your words. If you have an opportunity to give them the Bible, have them read it and watch. It's amazing. Do you believe the Bible? Hebrews 4:12 tells me here that if I let them read it, it'll pierce way more than anything I could say. You let them read it. I can give you testimony after testimony of people that I've tried to witness to, and I let them sit there reading the words, and I watch it just dig in. And all of a sudden, either they'll make two decisions. One, either accept, or two, they will shut you up faster than you started. Because they'll know it went deep, and they won't like that. It's the Word of God that does that. John 12:48 through 50, it says, the one who rejects me, Jesus says this, does not receive my words, has a judge. What's the judge? The word that I have spoken will judge them on that last day. This Bible will be their judge. They had it. For I have spoken not on my authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And now, I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. He's saying, this is not, you can't just say these are just man's words. These are God's words, commanded to Christ, commanded to the Holy Spirit to work within the people. You see that beautiful, the Trinity at work? God telling Christ, Christ telling the Holy Spirit, leading His people to write and do these things. All actively working at one work of His Word. So there's teaching, He says stop. Reproof, He says turn around. Correction, He tells you the direction to go. 1 Peter 2:1-2, He says, so put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Folks, He says, look, put those things away and look to the Word. Never should you be concerned at telling someone to read the Bible more. You should be more concerned about talking too much. Because your wisdom is folly. The Word of God is folly. Your word is folly. The Word of God is not folly. It will go. It'll get. And how do we know someone is growing? Is because they will desire more. Folks, some of us, some are 20 years old and still in diapers. Come on, folks. I mean, get that is weird. You should desire more of the Word. You should be wanting to know more. You shouldn't just look at people and say, wow, that's amazing, they know the Bible so much. No, you should say, wow, I want to know that. I want to be able to talk like that. Don't say, I can't, because you're saying you don't want to. You can. I can do all things through who? Christ who strengthens me. Was Paul, you could ask him, was it because he just felt so good when he got up, when he got stoned? Man, I got stoned today. It was so cool. And it was just so invigorating. Man, my body's feeling great. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that some were saying that, man, his letters are powerful, but when you meet the guy, he's just weak and pathetic looking. It wasn't about his figure. It was about the word that it came. It was about that word, the Word of God. Peter's saying, listen, turn away from those things, desire the Word. Psalm 119:9-11. How can a young man keep his ways pure? How do we help the young men in our nation get pure? Well, right here, by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we get our young people to stop living worldly ways? They seek the Word of God. Well, folks, it's not rocket science. You look at when the schools took out the Word of God. Yes, we saw that shrink, but it was before that. When parents stopped teaching the Word of God. When parents stopped having a daily family devotion is when things went south. It's when they expected the church to teach my kids, when I expected the school to teach my kids, and then they found out, well, the school took the stuff out, the churches are taking the word out, now we wonder why our entire nation is going to hell in a handbasket. It's because the word of God is not being taught anymore. It's just mentioned. You got little blurbs we throw out there. We think that because we wear John 3:16 on our shirt that we're some super powerful Christian. But some people can't even quote it. Why don't you quote some of these other ones that Christ constantly talked about? Being serious, being sold out. So we see here, teaching stop, reproof turn around, correction which way to go, and training guiding you in the path. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you put these things before the brothers, okay, put these things, the teaching, the word of God, you will be a good servant of Christ. See, if you do this, that'll make you a good servant, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. He's saying, listen, Timothy, take what you've got, the word that was of God, not so much mine, it's what God's done in me, give it on to the next ones, and they will move on, and they will press it on. Righteousness, it says there, training in righteousness. Righteousness is a fulfillment of expectations in a relationship. Okay? A fulfillment of expectations in a relationship. If a guy and a girl are together, they have expectations in the relationship. Right? When you become a child of God, there's expectations in this relationship. Pastor Jesse's going to legalism. No. Would you consider it legalistic if I told a man that when he marries his wife, he has to stay true to his wife? Well, that's legalistic, Pastor. You shouldn't be like that. The man should have a freedom to do whatever he wants. Well, why don't you ask his wife how she feels about that? She'd have a problem with that, wouldn't she? Okay? There's expectations in this relationship. Jesus Christ, you ask for salvation. You ask for righteousness to be poured out on you by his blood. There's expectations in this relationship. He wants you to follow, and guess what? He doesn't just say, find me. It's not where's Waldo. He says, here, I have it written out for you, word for word, what I want you to do. Follow this. Listen to it. Meditate on it. Put yourself right next to the stream so that you're just sucking it up all the time. And what will happen? Things will go better. It doesn't mean that it won't be perfect. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be birds that are going to come over and set up nests in there. It doesn't mean that people are going to come over and try chopping you down. That may happen. But when you meet the Lord, who will be pleased? Him. See, we keep forgetting that this life is temporary. We need to think about the eternal life. We need to think about when you stand and you're going to be there before the Lord. Are you going to be laying your face in the ground in worship or ashamed? See, Paul, he didn't want Timothy to be ashamed. How could Paul talk like this? I fought the fight. I finished the course. I finished it. I've done it. I've kept the faith. How could you talk like that, Paul? Because he has confidence that he kept up on the expectations of the relationship. He walked in a righteous way. So what's the purpose? What was the purpose there? The purpose there, law, okay? We hear a lot about this law, and I know we as Americans, we don't like rules, we don't like laws. There's always constantly no law coming out. But why did Jesus? But Jesus came, Matthew 5, verses 17, look at the screen here. It says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, okay? It doesn't mean because Jesus showed up, just throw out the Old Testament. Don't worry about it. No. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. He's saying that all of it, nothing of it is not sacred. Don't say any of that is you don't need that. You don't worry about that part. Don't read that part. No. Get it all. Because what's so precious about the Old Testament? What did Paul remind Timothy? Listen, the sacred writings, folks. He didn't have the New Testament yet. He didn't have it yet. What was Paul talking about there? He was brought up on these sacred writings. He wasn't even old enough to get the book of Timothy yet. Okay? He was just still growing up. What are these sacred writings he's talking about? He's talking about that Old Testament, the training.
the teaching that his mother and his grandmother brought up to him and showed him. These sacred writings, this Old Testament, is what and folks, if you spend time in the Old Testament, you'll see all over the Old Testament, it points right to Christ. It points right to Christ. You see it in Psalms, you see it in Isaiah, you see it in Genesis, you see it all over the place. Christ, right there. Luke 16:17 says this, "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." I love that. I mean, there's been story after story when they've tried to ruin this Bible. They tried to burn it. I can't even remember specifically where it was, but they made a point, this gentleman at this building, to burn up all the Bibles. And what did that building turn into? A printing press for Bibles after he was gone away. You know, my Lord's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? You know, my goodness. You can't. He's saying that, listen, heaven and earth, all of this will be gone before one of these, one word, becomes void. So when everything else is gone, that means you're not here, then maybe. Okay? It's just, he's just exaggerating. It's not going to happen. The biggest part here is salvation. Salvation. We see that it's in verse 17 that the man of God, how do I become a man of God? You become a child of God through salvation. We're not all children of God. Okay, you're not all children of God. You become a child of God when you accept that relationship. When you accept Jesus Christ, came, He died, He rose from the dead. That's when you become a child of God. What does our memory verse said there? That from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, that'll make you wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to worry. I mean, just let the people read it. Just let them study the Word. It'll bring them right to Christ. You know, it's sad, but sometimes I've heard many testimonies. It's when people hit rock bottom and all they got left is a Bible. They have no distractions and they just start reading. They don't have a theologian in the room. They don't have somebody sitting there, as I love it. The gospel is so pure and clean, like a puddle, okay? It's like a puddle. You can see right through the puddle, right? And sometimes us theologians that think we're theologians but have no idea what we're talking about, take a stick and we stir it all up. Okay, and we make a mess out of the gospel. It's pure, it's clean, it's simple. Jesus Christ came, He died. Why? Because He loves you. Why does He love you? Well, I don't know. Just because you were a created child. You are created by Him. Salvation is there. Romans 6:23, and that's my favorite verse I like to use. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in, or as your translation may say, through Christ Jesus our Lord. When I witness to some, I'll ask them, how do I go to heaven? And they'll say that you have to do this, do that, do this, do that. And I say, well, do you believe the Bible? Oh yeah, of course I believe the Bible. Okay, can I just read one passage? One. You can go about your day. Romans 6:23, I bring them here. And what I'll do is, they'll say, read right through there, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in, and I'll say, by obeying the Ten Commandments. And they go, no. It says in, and I'll say, praying to Mary. They're like, no. No, and I remember being on a plane once with a gentleman, and he was getting so mad at me. And he's like, in, this is your Bible, man. It says in Christ Jesus. And I said, well, then why did you tell me all these things? You told me I had to do all this stuff. And that's right there, as you watch, you read in Hebrews, man, it pierced. Because he shut that Bible and put it over, and said, I don't want to talk to you the rest of the plane ride. Because the Word of God pierced. It got in that heart. I have no idea where that man is or what's going on, but I know the Word of God got way farther than I ever could. We could have been sitting there debating and arguing about praying and Mary and all this stuff. Why? What's the point? What do you gain from doing that, by proving to somebody that their entire life has been a lie? You understand what you just did? You just tore them apart. Just show them the light. Let them look at it. Let them see that this Bible right there says through Christ. Salvation. And what does it say there? Is that Christ is, it's not enough that He saves you. But He says that the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete salvation. He wants you complete, perfect, equipped for every good work. Equipped. Again, this is not going towards legalism. He's saying, Ephesians 2:10, look up on the screen. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God wrote them all down for us. He gave them to us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is in, through Christ Jesus. And our good works are because of Christ Jesus. It's all because of Christ. Let me close with this, folks. Listen. This Bible is God breathed. It's God's breath. If God, right now, listen, catch me here. If you were to go home right now and you're by yourself in your backyard, and all of a sudden the light changes in the clouds and shines down on you, and you hear an audible voice, right? You hear an audible voice come down. Larry. Okay, that would catch your attention, right? Probably you'd be looking around wondering if your wife's playing a trick on you or your husband's playing a trick on you. But all of a sudden you realize it's God talking to you. You probably would listen, right? And that's what people are seeking in this world. They want an audible voice. You just heard it this morning, folks. Realize, when I read the Word of God, that is God speaking. I'm not trying to say I'm God. Don't misunderstand me. This is God's Word. If you read it out loud, that is God talking to you. That is God. That's why men, you know, and I know, you put your Bible on the ground, you stand on it, you scuff it up, oh, this is just a book. Listen, I can't do it. I have seen guys do it and say, oh, this is just a book, and I personally can't do it. I like this one. I don't want to scuff it all up like that, okay? It is just a book, but it holds the words of God. It is protected. It doesn't matter what this world does. The entire world could turn against the Bible. There will always be His Word. With that in mind, what do you think when you read this? So quickly we'll say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. You're telling God you don't like Him. No. Listen, if I tell you something and you say, well, that's stupid, you mind? You called me stupid, okay? Let's be real right here, right? If you disagree with this, then you disagree with God. This is the Word of God. So the Word of God tells us, as I read earlier, John 14:6, right? He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I don't care what anyone else tells you in the world. This is God-breathed. You will not get to heaven without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Period. And how do we continue living this life? We read it and we study it because it will equip you for a few good works, right? A whole lot of good works. All good works. The reason we have so many issues is because we're not in love with this. I looked at that Bible all worn up and the notes and the things in there. I thought, man, this woman just loved this book. Are you in love with the Word of God? Because I'm sure if you went in your backyard and you could just go talk to God, you know, you'd have all kinds of things to say. Well, he's all done. He said everything that needs to be said. Right here. Don't go looking for something new until you've got all of this in your head. When you've got all of this figured out, then maybe God will come talking to you. But I'm pretty sure it shows Elijah got it all figured out and God said, all right, come on home. Elisha, poor guy, had to stand there and watch this all happen. When God's done with you, He'll take you home. Are you in love with... I mean, honestly, that's like I've talked about before. People talk about heaven because of the golden streets and everything. Heaven is God. If you don't love the Bible, if you don't love Jesus, then why do you even want to go to heaven? Because that's God. You realize that? I learned that from an unsaved individual. They don't love God. They don't want anything to do with Him. That's why they don't want to go to heaven. That was a... What? You know how many Christians I know that don't really care about this book, but they're just all excited about going to heaven? Why? There's not even a light up there. It's His glory shining. It's all about God. Everyone bow their heads, close their eyes. Just listen to this here. I want to read another passage. Bow your head, close your eyes, no one looking around. Just 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Well, Paul puts it so simple. Listen. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received. That Christ died for our sins and according to the Scriptures. That death on the cross was not an accident. It was planned. It was set up before the earth was made. Jesus was going to have to go to the earth and die. According to the Scriptures. Verse 4, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Folks, don't think the death, burial, and resurrection was plan B. It was plan A from day one. And I just really want to ask everyone here, no one looking around, is there anyone here that has never accepted that? They've never accepted Christ as the one for heaven. I just want you to slip your hand up. No one looking around. Does anyone here want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? They want to know today that they have a home in heaven. They don't want to wish. They don't want to walk out of here hoping. They want to know. They believe that this, you believe that this Bible is true. And I just showed you in the Scriptures. It says that without Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Anyone here want to slip their hand up and ask, right here, want to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? They never can remember a time that they repented and turned to Christ. But today they want to do that. So all others that are here, that have Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you right now, right where you are, right where you're sitting, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just talk to the Lord. Are you walking in a way that people can look at you and see that you're equipped for all good works? Can they see that you love the Word of God? That you look at the Bible as God breathed? Listen, I've got a little letter that I got in my truck, folks. And it's written to me for my daughter when I went out of town one time. And she just wrote me a letter that just to be safe, to drive safe, that she loved me and wanted to make sure. Listen, that thing is so precious. It may seem silly to any of you, but it's precious because it's from my daughter. Folks, that's how God wants you to hug His Word, cherish His Word. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you should cherish His Word. When you read it, don't read it like, am I going to accept this today? You just read it as truth. Father God, I thank You so much for today. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that no matter where we are, no matter where we go in this world, no matter how rough it gets, Father, oh, I pray for the problems that happened this weekend. Father, it doesn't matter how this world falls apart, Your Word will stay true. And Father, we thank You that You even told us that things are going to get rough. Father, I just pray that You help each individual here. Lord, I pray if anyone here was just too shy, too nervous, too scared to raise their hand, Lord, I just pray, convict their hearts and minds. Help them to either come talk to me afterwards, maybe talk to me at the picnic, maybe talk to someone else. Seek out someone, Lord. Let them not wait, for our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. We don't know when we're going to be before You. And Father, I ask that You help me. Help me, God, to be a good example to the church that You've put me over. Father, Lord, it's just so challenging reading verses like this, God. Am I truly allowing myself to be equipped for all good works? Father, am I even serious about Your Word? Am I pouring the Word of God out over my children, over my wife? Where is my priorities, God? Lord, I pray that You help each Christian here today that has that relationship, Lord, to truly walk out of here wanting more understanding of Your Word. Lord, that they would want to just dig and dig and dig. We thank You, God. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is protected. And Lord, even though it's protected and we know that it will always be there, Lord, please let us not. Help us to stop putting aside the time to meditate and memorize Your Word. How do we keep our ways pure? It's through just meditating, dwelling on Your Word, memorizing it, hiding it in our hearts and minds. Help us this week, Lord. We thank You, we praise You in Jesus' precious name.